Hello, Commissioner. Thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate your time.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, certainly. Glad to make time for you anytime. So, Cook County board members narrowly approved a resolution yesterday to share addresses of COVID-19 patients with first responders following what sounds like a pretty emotional debate about the measure's intention. Talk to me about that, if you would.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I wasn't sure how the vote was going to go. I talked to a number of the commissioners beforehand, but there were many good points made on both sides. And I think the debate was a very positive one because I think we're talking about very essential issues, not only about the infection, but about civil and privacy rights, all things that are really important to all of us. So it came out that we had a spirited discussion, but we decided at the end of the day to share that information.
And what was the thing that tipped that towards sharing?
I think it was the bottom line of protecting our first responders. That's what initiated this entire discussion. I was contacted by multiple police and fire chiefs throughout the suburbs who indicated that they just simply didn't have the personal protective equipment that they need to respond to every call, like there's a COVID-positive case in that particular address. And that's because the federal government has simply not stood up and provided our municipalities with the resources they need. And because of that, they said, we really need to know that this house may have a COVID-19 positive individual in it. We don't want the names, just the addresses. And we're going to be extra careful when we go to those homes to make sure that we don't get infected ourselves or spread the virus to others. I thought that was a reasonable request, and that's why I've been working on it the last month and a half to see if we could get it done.
Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to privacy, which you mentioned, you know, that I think immediately seemed like the reaction on social media in particular was centering entirely around privacy, pretty much, of, well, what does that mean? How is my data protected? How is my safety protected?
And I think that's a very good point. And as a member of the ACLU myself, I find myself in strange territory here because I agree with those privacy concerns. Honestly, Amy, if we were not in this pandemic and a situation certainly in my 59 years I've never seen before, I would not have proposed this particular legislation. But because of the situation we're in, and because we have to balance things constantly between personal privacy rights and the physical health of our, particularly of our first responders, we had to figure out a way to try to make a compromise. So that's what this is. First off, we're not revealing the names of anybody. We're only revealing addresses. This is done through an encrypted system, so it's confidential. It's only the first responders who get the information. And the most important thing, probably from my perspective on a civil liberties and personal privacy issue, is that we're going to keep this to 60 days, and I don't anticipate the need to extend it, God willing, much past that. But if we're going to extend it, we have to have another vote of the board. So this is a 60-day, a two-month attempt to protect our paramedics and firefighters and police officers from getting exposed to this virus. And, 35 states now currently provide this information to their first responders. This is not something unique. I understand the concerns on the other side. They are well-founded. I also know that the people who voted no care just as much about our first responders as I do. But I felt like this is one thing we can do for them as an extra layer of protection, and we ended up having 9 people agree with me.
Yeah. And I think the temporary nature of it is a really important one to make sure that message is out there as part of it, that it's a temporary thing in a really unbelievable situation that we found ourselves in. However, another thing that surfaced around that was in the conversation around it, Preckwinkle also kind of echoed, it came up from Public Health Co-Administrator Rachel Rubin, kind of saying, hey, how do we protect against discrimination in this moment when, systemic racism against black and brown communities, how do we make sure that those communities are being served while not heaping on further danger to those communities?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I struggled with. The incident down in Georgia recently with the individual being basically hunted down and killed, and then nothing being done for 2 months, really brought home for me the fact that inherent and systematic racism is absolutely still a problem, if not a crisis, in this country. And so, yeah, that is an absolutely valid point. The president is exactly right. And she's been on the forefront of contesting that type of discrimination and violation of civil rights her entire career. And I have a great deal of respect for that. And in my public life, I've tried to be the same. So it is a strange place for me to be. However, I'm trying to figure out where we can balance these competing interests. And the most important thing for me is to monitor this program for 2 months. That's all we're going to do. And if I see any indication that this is being applied in some kind of racially inappropriate way, I will be the first to propose that it be discontinued, and I'll bring that motion at the Cook County Board. So there are safeguards put in place inherently in the system. There's a memorandum of understanding between the local agencies and the county that talks about how they can apply this information. And believe me, if there's any indication that it's being applied in some type of racially discriminatory manner, it will end, and I'll be the one to lead that.
Commissioner Scott Britton, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today for breaking this issue down.
You bet. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.